Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Special guest tonight, friends. We have Tory Flowers, been in Church of God, around Church of God all of his life. His father was a noted Church of God minister. He's employed by the government, and I'm sure you may know him or his family. He's been around for years and years and years. Give Tory a hand for being here tonight.
Awesome.
So it's good to have him here tonight, friends, and good to be here. And if you want to join in our discussion, feel free. You can text in 1-866-538-3664, 1-866-538-3664. Also, our counseling line is 478-283-9093. Wounded Hearts Counseling Line, if you want to call in, you can. That's 478-283-9093. Also, we have an email for Wounded Hearts, and that is reeechone@aol.com. Again, that Wounded Hearts email is reeechone@aol.com. So again, glad to have Flowers here tonight, and we're just happy to have him with us. Tory, you know, our young people, we're so burdened about so many have left the church, and I want to take you back to when I was a little guy. Do we have those slides up?
Yep, we sure do.
And just to get us a flavor of what I'm talking about here, I was here at my old church years and years and years ago, and we had a lot of young folks here. Junior church. Here was the young people's choir. My dad's directly there in the middle there. You see him, director? And just people everywhere, young people everywhere. And, of course, here again we had, I think, three buses we could pick up for church, you know, and just young folks, junior Sunday school, you know, just exciting. So many, many, many young people. And today I can hardly count 20 that are still serving God that I know of. And also, it's not just there, but friends, I've been to, I believe, 7 countries in church activities. It's the same thing there. Young people, especially in the European countries, the decreased young people coming to church, and this number is even increasing here in America. So we're just trying to see what avenues that I can do. What can I do to try to reach young people? So, Tory, tonight, what can I do as an individual, 67-year-old guy? What can I do to reach our young people, in your opinion?
It's hard to pinpoint one thing that one person can do to try to get young people back into the church. I mean, and that's a twofold answer, because you have to speak in two different young people, because you have your young people that grew up in the church. That's a totally different conversation, whereas it's trying to get young people that have never heard of the church to get into the church. Those are like two separate answers.
Thanks for that. Let me say this. I'm glad you're here, man. I'm getting to see your face. I'm enjoying you being here. Okay, let's take those two different groups. Those that grew up in church, what can I do? Any suggestion I can reach those young folks?
At this point in time, just being all the way 100, that's me looking at it personally from my standpoint, it's almost impossible, because there's so much stuff that has transpired in the church. Like, of course, it's, I don't hold any grudges or any bad feelings towards anybody, because these are the people that I grew up with. These are the people that were a part of my life. And people that are part of your life growing up, they're always going to have some part of your life as you get older, but you just choose what part of your life that they're a part of. So as far as the kids that grew up in the church, it's like you learn so much about the quote unquote true church of God and how it operates and how you're supposed to live your life and how everything is supposed to run. And then not only that, they also teach you how to basically be able to point out false doctrines and all that different stuff. And then as you get older and you see kind of like, hey, the stuff that I'm supposed to be looking out for in these other churches is kind of happening at the church that I grew up in. And it's not supposed to be like that.
Do you think that people have a tendency to leave God in that situation, do you think? Or just the church? Or how do they do that?
I think a lot of people just leave the church. It's not a lot of, you talk to a lot of young people and a lot of, especially kids that grew up in the church, they still believe in God. I still believe in God. Like, it's not that I left God. It's just that I left the church. But of course, growing up in the church is always going to seem like you left God because you're not a part of the church.
Do the folks that you talk to, are they claiming salvation?
It's not a, I don't think it's a thing of claiming salvation. I think it's a thing of finding out what I believe and what I don't believe versus what I was taught and what was drilled into my head. So okay. I can't speak for everybody, but speaking for myself, it's always been a struggle of what do I know I believe in God, but what actually do I believe in? Because from the time I was six, this was integrated and pushed into my head. And this is what I learned. And this is what I always thought was right. But as I get older, it's like, something ain't adding up.
Any comments, Ron?
I do have a comment from Jawan Gibson. He said, the young people who grew up in the church have seen the ones we considered pillars crumble due to hypocrisy and corruption. So they don't want to be a part of an organization that honestly lied to us by not being the example we thought they were.
Yeah. I've heard that before. And again, I'm a church baby too. I just showed you pictures of that. But I think in some cases, the young folks that I've talked to, I'm wondering, was there a consecration where it ought to have been? Was there prayer life where it ought to have been? Were they claiming sanctification? Because if those were in line, that would have caused an in-depth study to be able to know right from wrong. I can be taught something, like Tori said, in my mind, but until I learn for myself, then I can really experience what's being taught. Tori, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a little bit deeper than that, because I think a lot of young people, if you check a lot of Church of God kids now, if you look at their Facebooks and stuff, a lot of them still attend church. They don't attend Church of God, but they still attend church because they still believe in God. But I think after like everything that happened with the church, a lot of people, of course, just wrote the church off because of what happened. But sometimes it causes you to think like, hey, what have I been teaching? And I think in an age of social media and also the access to information, it's hard to, and I hate to say it this way, but it's hard to keep the wool over people's eyes, because you can Google stuff and like a lot of the stuff, you can learn a lot of stuff that you were taught that isn't true. But I mean, it's a lot. It's like you can go online and research the person, the King, like the Church of God uses the King James Version Bible. Like you can go online and research King James and figure out what type of person he was. And it's like, okay, I believe in God, I love God, and the church taught me this is the Bible that we're supposed to be reading, and this is the man that God allowed to put together, but all of this stuff happened. Or with Black people and Christianity and religion and how religion became a part, how Christianity became part of Black people. It's like you can research a lot of this stuff that makes you think like, okay, cool, was I really just taught something because somebody else was taught it, or is that actually the truth?
Yeah, Tori, some of the people that you've met, were they living a life free from sin consistently, do you think, most of the folks, young people? Were they living a life consistently free from sin, would you consider?
It's hard for me to answer that. And the reason why it's hard for me to answer that is because, I mean, of course, we talk in the Church of God that sin is something you know that is wrong and you do it. That's a sin. And that's different in every person. That's what I personally think, that it's different in every person. So you can look at somebody and say, oh, you're doing that wrong. Or that's wrong because you see it in your eyes is wrong, but nothing their conscience has told them that it's wrong. So I can say that I'm looking at it on the outside that it's a sin, but to them, is it a sin? But if you're asking me in form of how the church stands, then I don't think so.
Is there another question from our listeners?
Just comments. I have a lot of comments coming in. I'll take one from Melissa Elise. She said, we were told that the only people saved were those who sit in Church of God pews. But I grew up and discovered there are more people saved than those who follow our customs and traditions. Only sin against God makes one a sinner, is Melissa's comment.
Sure. And to the young people, it's imperative that if you have these questions, go to the minister, because Sunday morning service, going to the Church of God, it's an exhortation, but what's needed is to sit down and talk about these things. She mentioned Church of God, and what I think the ministers mean by that are those who've been saved from sin. So it's not so much a denomination, but those who've been saved from sin. Another question coming in?
Yes. Carrie Ann asks, do you think some use church downfalls as an excuse to leave because they didn't want to uphold the standard? I've heard that.
Carrie Ann, thank you. We're good to have her again. Like I asked Tori earlier, if a person gets saved from sin and it talks about what we know is wrong, which thank you for that, Tori, clarifying that we know it's wrong. And then we go on to be sanctified, where our heart is made pure. I think the odds of us leaving or getting into issues are diminished because the Spirit of God working in our lives. So, yeah, I think some people can use the confusion that might come up, whatever, as an excuse. But one thing, we've got to be honest with our never dying soul. We've got to be honest with that.
It's true.
To know right from wrong and to do what God has shown you through his word. Now, Tori, I agree. I've got about 9 different Bible types, and I compare them. And there are some differences. But what I think what it comes down to is that experience of God delivering from sin and taking us on to perfection. Tori, what advice would you give individuals who have left the church? Well, any advice would you give them?
I'll give them the same advice that I took for myself, and that's from the Bible. It says, work out your own soul salvation. Like, you got to figure it out for yourself. You can't allow what happened. Like the person said, yeah, some people do use the church splitting up and all of that as an excuse to leave the church because they wanted to leave all along. And they need an excuse to leave. But some people have to step back because it's all confusing. It's all a mess. So sometimes you got to step back and figure it out for yourself.
A pointed question. Do you trust any ministers today?
No.
None at all?
Not a one.
How about brother? You trust Brother Moon?
I love Brother Moon. I needed something, I know Brother Moon would be there for me. But when it comes to like the church and all of that, no, sorry.
Well, let me ask this. I'm going to put myself on Front Street tonight. Trey, you've known me for what, about 30 years, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put myself on Front Street here. Have you seen any sin in my life?
Not that I'm aware of.
Any wrongdoing in my life?
Not that I'm aware of.
You've heard some things, I'm sure, but for your own example. So what I'm saying is, trust is important, But we have to have God to lead us in these things. Because we got to face God one day. We want to make sure we are where He wants us to be. Any questions from our listeners?
We sure do. Mr. 313 asks, were the pillars held to a way higher standard than they should have been?
I don't know. I don't know. It would depend. Go ahead, Dora.
No, sorry. I would say I don't think so. I think that that's one thing, like, about the church, that growing up and getting into it and learning, like, it felt right. Everything that was being said sounded right, and everybody that I knew and looked at seemed right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like this person was this standard, this person was this standard, until stuff started coming out. And it was like, okay, everybody else is kind of put on Front Street about what they have going on, but because it's one of the pillars in the church, we're going to try to keep this hush hush. And then next thing you know, the church is just split beyond compare, seems like. And then nobody, I mean, of course we hear rumors, but, and I think that's another one of the problems that the church has. Like, it doesn't address stuff. And it seems like that's what goes on in every other church. Like, stuff happens, it gets swept under the rug. People are able to gossip about it, and you get bits and pieces of the story, and parts of the story you get might not be true. And you don't know what parts of the story are true because the church doesn't openly discuss it, especially if it's one of the pillars in the church and something is going on. It's like, hey, this is what happened. You don't have to go into detail, but you got to let people know something was going on.
Again, friends, if you want to call in or text in, you can. That number is 1-866-538-3664. 1-866-538-3664. In our last few minutes here, friends, you know, I went to a dentist some years ago, and he caused me a lot of pain. He really did. But I kept on going to get my teeth cleaned at other dentists. You know, I went to a lawyer, and this guy really did me a bad job. But I went to another lawyer years later. So because the lawyer and the dentist, I met one this bad, I didn't throw it all out together. So what you're seeing is not new. Issues arise in the home. They arise at the job. And so we're there to work these things out together. The devil loves division. I mentioned to you last month, 30% of families end in divorce with the families. And so we're seeing division. And we want to do what we can to maintain unity. And that's so, so, so important. Tori, for young people, what's the biggest temptation they face, being a young person? Hmm. Biggest temptation they face?
That's as far as a Church of God child, that's I guess it's different for each child. I guess maybe the main thing could be a fear of missing out, like you're missing out on something. Or like when you get older and you get out and you go to college and you meet other people, and it's like almost like you've been held in a box and you know nothing. And I think that's one thing the church can really change, is about being able to teach the Bible and teach what the Church of God stands for and all of that, but also exposing our young people to other things. Like, there's other things outside of the world, and seeing that kids can be exposed to that's not, that way we won't be so left out here. Because I know, like, once I got older and left the church, I was like a fish out of water, because I had no idea what was going on, because I've been a part of the church my whole life.
Tenille, you're a church baby. Any comment from you?
No, I could definitely relate to him. But I think you mentioned something that was very profound. It is a personal experience. I mean, it's one thing to know, but it's something else to experience that. And I have realized after I became a Christian, what I thought I knew and what I experienced were two totally different things. So, you know, it depends on the individual. I could definitely understand what Tori's referring to, but I think it's on a personal level. If you not only just listen to what you've been taught, but actually do and apply what you've been taught, I think you can have a better and more different results.
Right. Tori, were you sanctified and saved when you were in church?
I mean, back then I would say yeah, but thinking about it now, based on how the church, if like you really deep dive into what the church believe and how you should live, I don't think so.
But, you know, when I was in the when I left the church, my life went to shambles. I left the church when I was about 14 years old. And man, I mean, I was shielded, thank God. But when I got out there, it was horrible. It was, I mean, I was doing what I wanted to do, but the peace, there was no peace there. Addiction came in, confusion came in, isolation, depression. I mean, it was horrible. And I think some of these young people, man, are facing some tough times right now because of this. True. Is there any, we had a comment coming in?
Oh, wow. We're flooded with comments, but I'll try to keep it short here. But Melissa, she said, I think many have good intentions. The church is made of humans and there is peer pressure. Some people considered pillars do and say things they hear or see others do. We church kids are affected by the lack of authenticity among the saints. There is a tendency to deny children and saints the opportunity to be individuals and get to know God. There is more emphasis placed on image and conformity.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Any more coming in our last minute here?
Oh, wow. Maria Nichols, her comment is, teach about the love of God and not hell. I feel like the church scares young people into being saved. Once that fear is gone, they have nothing to hold on to.
All right. And friends, we're going to conclude now. Tori, thank you for coming with us tonight. We appreciate that so much. Those who chimed in, we had a wonderful session tonight, reaching out to our young folks. Young people, I will say this. Being a church baby myself years ago, of course, it's important that you get to experience yourself. The Bible offers sanctification, being saved, growing in grace. Those things have got to come first, because that's what's going to root you. And if you don't, you'll be swept away by so many things. And that happened to me. I was swept away, a young person, and I was swept out to sea with no boat, and I almost drowned. So what I'm saying is, if you're in the church, let God save you from sin and then go on to get sanctified. And the Bible will teach you how to do that. And then that will root you and that will stable you and that will keep you. So tonight, if anybody wants to come back to God, I beg you, let tonight be the night to come back to Him. If you let men get in your way, they'll get in your way. If you let men affect you, they'll affect you. But remember one thing, God loves you.
Amen.
We're here to reach out to you, to let you know that.
Amen.
And to try to bring some unity, forgiveness, in God's church. Lord, thank you. Father, thank you.
Lord,
bless you. Have a good day.
Amen.